I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 7. Psalms chapter 7. As I've looked at some of the Psalms that we find the word Selah. I brought a few messages on the first part of Psalms where that word Selah was found. And we're somewhat aware of the meaning and the significance of that word. It means pause and calmly meditate upon what was just said. Now, the amazing thing about that word, that was placed there by the Spirit of God, is that we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly or completely furnished. But whenever the Spirit of God puts that word, Selah, that particular verse, he's saying, the Spirit of God is saying, now, you make sure that you pause here. You make sure that you give meditation, muse upon what I just said. Now, I'd like to look at the first five verses of the seventh chapter of the Psalms. And up at the top, the little title, it says, the Sigayon of David, the Psalm. It's a Psalm of David. Some say that word, Sigayon, I have to just look and see what that word means. As I say, I don't speak Hebrew. But the meaning by some of the translators says in this song, it's a song that is sung with just passion. And so this Sigayon, this song of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush, the Benjamite. Now, it seems to indicate that when David was being, and Mr. Spurgeon is one said this, he said this song that was being sung by David unto the Lord was in response to some accusations, some false accusations of a man named Cush. He was a Benjamite. And what this Cush was doing was he was falsely accusing David of treason before Saul. Accusing him, and he was false accusation, but he was accusing him of being a traitor unto the king. Now, these words of David are without a doubt the pleading unto the Lord of his innocence. But more so, and here's where I want us to really concentrate. These words are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he is pleading the innocence of his people against the accusations of Satan, of the world, and his false religion. These false accusations that are made according to the words of our Lord against his people, against himself, against his people, and therefore declaring their innocence of treason before God. He's praying. Now I just want to read the five verses of Scripture, and then I'll make a few comments on this, and we'll sum it up. O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, O Jehovah, pleading unto the God of covenant grace, O Lord, my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there's none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. If I've done that, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Now, I've got 3 points. In light, this is my first point, in light of David praying, which are the words of our Lord. We know that. You've heard people say, I think some of these psalms are, you know, messianic psalms. They're all messianic psalms. These are all the Lord speaking. But it's written at David, who is that picture of the Lord Jesus. And in light of him praying, calling upon the Lord, the God of covenant grace, here's my first point. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ prays. They all pray. Turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verses 5 to 7. Our Lord speaking. And when thou prayest, and when thou prayest. It's not if, it's when. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Now take that. Let's take this to heart. I've mentioned before, you know, why do we not? We come together here, and here we are in an assembly of worship. But when we're out in, you know, restaurants, and we don't hold hands and you know, make a big show and, you know, start in the middle of a group. Why? Why do we not do that? Can we not pray in our heart and thank the Lord for our food? But according to the word of our Lord, He said, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, out there in public. Why? That they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. They wanted to be seen of men. And they have their reward. They were seen of men. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, here's the thing I know. Every believer prays, and when you pray, the Lord said, when you pray. Here our Lord reveals that His people pray secretly. And I'm going to tell you this, and you'll know it's so when you hear me say it, They pray secretly, even in public, meaning right here, where it's appropriate that we pray outwardly. And that's what makes it so hard. I've said this, praying even in an assembly like this, it's very hard because we can't escape the thought. We know that everybody's standing here. We know everybody hears. What you just did, Brother Neil, leading prayer, it's hard. Because there's some things that you can't say. There's some things you just can't openly say. You think in your heart. But God's people, even in public, there is that awakened acquaintance that desires communion with the Lord, and therefore the believer prays in his heart, and his mouth is saying words of praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Every believer prays. Here's my second point. We don't know what to pray. Every believer prays. Turn to Romans 8:26. We don't know what to pray. I've told you before, my prayers, when I do try to find time, as you do, get with the Lord and pray. And it just seems like when I pray, the things I pray the same things over and over and over again. I pray them. And I don't want it to be vain repetition. I want it to be from my heart. I want that. But I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Isn't that comforting that the Lord would tell us? This is an infirmity. This is an infirmity. We don't know what to pray. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I've told you before, in my mind, this is the only way I pray for you. Go right down there. I know where you're sitting. I know where you're sitting. I know where you are. And as you, but I don't know what to pray. I can call your name. Lord, I pray for Pat Bear. But I don't know what to ask for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We desire to pray, but how wonderful to be reminded of our inability. We read that and we say, that's right. That's right. I don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit bears us up, helps our infirmities in our weakness to know, for we don't know the will of the Lord. I don't know the will of the Lord. The Spirit prays for us, the Scripture says, with groaning that is too spiritual to utter. So every believer prays, and no believer knows what to pray for. But here's my third point. We have an advocate with the Father. Turn with me to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. Now turn with me to Revelation 8. Revelation 8. Here's our blessed advocate. We've read this passage of Scripture before, but it's so comforting to know how the Father hears the prayer of the saints. How the Father hears the prayer of the saints. Revelation 8, verse 1 to 4, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came." Here is the angel of the covenant himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands." Now, here is the advocate of God's people, the Lord Jesus Christ. He declared in John 17, verse 9, concerning those that had been given him by the Father, "I pray for them." I pray for them. That's what he told Peter. "Peter, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not." You realize that when he prays for us that our faith fail not, our faith's not going to fail. Here's the advocate, the Lord Jesus, the intercessor, the advocate, the great high priest of the bride. And the incense is spoken of in Revelation chapter 8, that's in that golden censer. It sets forth the glorious merit of the one who prays. And as the Father's servant, the servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, honored and glorified and satisfied the Father, having obeyed every jot and tittle of the law for righteousness before his people. He was made sin, the scripture says, before God, laid down his life, bearing all the guilt of his people in his own body, satisfying the justice of the law for the disobedience done by his people. He's bearing all that. And here he is satisfying, he's satisfied the law of God for justice, obedience. And here he is as the intercessor, the advocate, the mediator, praying for his people, perfuming heaven with the savor of his obedience in life, obedience in death. And now he ever lives to make intercession for his people, offering up their prayers in his merit. "Father, hear them for my sake." Hear the prayers of the people. The ones that they don't know what to pray. Here's what they're saying. Here's what they're saying. Here's what they want to say. I know what they want to say. But because of the infirmity of that old body of death that's with them, they don't know how to say it. I'm saying it for them. And the Father hears it, well pleased. And he prays. He prays. Now, I want to just look at those first five verses again very quickly, and I'll be done. Here's what he's praying. Here's David. Here's David praying. David truly prayed this prayer, without a doubt. David prayed. But this is showing forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took what David said, moved upon by the Spirit of God, moved by God's Spirit. David said this by God's Spirit, moving on him to pen these words, pray this prayer, this Haggai, this song of praise unto God. He didn't know what to pray. But in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, being found in Him, this is what David prayed. O Lord, Jehovah, my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Lord, You're my refuge. You're my only refuge. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. I flee to You, Lord, my city of rest, my city of refuge, my haven of rest. Verse 2, lest He tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Hold your place right there. Just turn over to Psalm 22, a few pages. Psalm 22. Now, these are the words of our Lord when He was on the cross. Now here He is, made sin, bearing the guilt of His people. Listen to His prayer. Psalm 22, verse 11 to 22. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan, unreasonable men. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening, a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me about. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, cast lots upon my vesture. But be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste Thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Lord, help me. Verse 3 to 5, back in Psalm 7. O Lord, my God, if I've done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. If I've done that, if I've delivered him that was my enemy and it was my fault, verse 5, then let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Now let me tell you in closing the plea of those last three verses. Here is the plea of the Lord who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who knows the depth of our trouble, who knows the depth of the accusations. David was accused by a man named Cush, a Benjamite. He was accused of treason before Saul. He was accused of treason. But this world and this false religion, Satan himself, fueled by the direction of Satan, the father of lies, God's people are accused of being treasonous before God because of who they trust and what they believe concerning the gospel of God's free grace. This world and its false religion says, you're traitors. You're traitors against God. That's what the Pharisees accused the Lord of. Your father's Beelzebub. You're a traitor. You're a traitor. And here's David, the Lord Himself, the great David Himself, praying on behalf of His people who's been accused of treason before God. And He's pleading on their behalf. And he's saying to the Lord, Lord, You're my only refuge. This is what I got. I got Your word. I got Your promise. Lord, You said, salvation is of the Lord. Now the world says that salvation is by the works of man. Salvation is by man's free grace. Salvation is offered to all men. The world says Christ died for all men without exception. That God loves everybody. And God wants to save everybody if they'll let Him. And Lord, I've held to Your truth. You're my refuge. Your word is true. And Lord, they're calling me a traitor. And I'm casting all my care on You. Now Lord, if I've done what they said, by trusting You, Lord, last verse, then let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. If they're saying the truth, but Lord, Your word's all I got. Your word is my hope. I'm trusting in You. And all of these false accusations that's made against me, Lord, I'm going to trust Christ. And I'm not going to put any confidence in myself. Lord, help me and save me. For Christ's honor, Your glory, and my good. Amen. And the Spirit of God said, now you muse on that. You muse on that. Amen. All right, let's take a break.